You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Many New Yorkers live their entire lives in the city and don't come into contact with the more than 300 public housing developments scattered across it. They may read about them in news stories or note them as they pass by, but never really consider the over 400,000 residents that reside in them. Some of those residents were given cameras to document what happens in the buildings they call home, and now Powerhouse has published a selection of stunning photographs in a new book called Project Lives. We are pleased to have with us one of its co-editors, Chelsea Davis, along with two participating resident photographers, Nia Morning and Margaret Wells. And I welcome you all to our show. And Chelsea, could you tell us about how this project started?
Absolutely. Well, I'm here speaking on behalf today of me and my two other editors, George Carano and Jonathan Fisher. And George and Jonathan formerly worked for the MTA with an office across the street from a public housing development in Harlem. And all of us separately were just aware of the public perception of housing projects in New York City, but also aware that there was a greater story than was told through just the negative media coverage. And in addition to that, George has a background in participatory photography, and I had started two other art enrichment programs. And so the three of us came together to implement this project with the New York City Housing Authority to give the residents living there the opportunity to share their own stories through photography.
Were you also concerned about how the media represents public housing? Because you have several tabloid front pages scattered throughout the book.
Right, absolutely. There's just, and we all believed that there is a narrative beyond that, and the population of those living in public housing is comparable in scale to the city of Boston, and there's a more optimistic side of the story than is told.
But you're using what's called participatory photography here?
Right, to give the residents of public housing the opportunity to share their own story that's unmediated by an outside observer.
What kinds of cameras did you give them? Not smartphones.
No. Kodak was our sponsor for this program. So we worked with single-use Kodak cameras.
And is that better in a way? Could you get better pictures? What do you think, Margaret? You probably have taken pictures on a camera at some point.
I have before. I remember the old-style Kodak camera that you look down into.
Did brownies.
You took pictures on Tar Beach. But this was a very, very different experience, just taking the photos. And we were kind of ignorant in what to take shadows or what was good, what was bad. But through the instructions of Chelsea and her co-participants, we learned a little bit something about a camera and what a camera does do.
So you actually trained, Nia, to take pictures?
I was trained, but after a point, I started to know on my own. But Miss Chelsea, she helped me to know the point of view of taking a picture, the meaning of it. So it helped after a while to know the meaningful of taking a picture.
Now, Chelsea, the participants vary tremendously in age. In fact, the two people we have here are quite different in age. Was that a challenge?
I don't think so. I think it was exciting to work with a broad range of participants and to get everyone excited about photography. I think our youngest participant was as young as 6, and the eldest was in her late 90s.
And how old were you when you started, Nia?
When I started, I think I was about 11, maybe 12.
I'm not going to ask how old you were, Margaret.
Well, early 70s. Early 70s.
In looking over other people's pictures, do you have a sense that all housing projects are alike or very different?
Well,
because this covers the whole city.
I know there might be somewhere different of location and what's around them in those different locations and whatnot. But I always think of where I live as special.
And when you were taking pictures, was there anything you wanted to show to other people who aren't familiar with public housing?
Well, I think that I took pictures of different types of buildings there, and they're doing a lot of buildings in the west side of Harlem. So that's what I did, a lot of buildings west side of Harlem. And I don't think these buildings, especially 3333, I don't think it's that old. It might be over 20 years old. But a lot of places are new locations.
But there's a big difference between taking those kinds of pictures and taking family snapshots.
Oh, yes. The difference, the buildings and the change in buildings and whatnot. But the family snapshots just shows you people who are living their lives in this type of development. And their lives are really regular lives.
Now, Zia, as you said, you were only 12 when you began participating in the program. How did you hear about it?
Well, it was in a community center, so I originally went there, and then they brought the program to it, so I decided to get involved with it, and then that's how I just started.
Did you have family and friends also getting into it?
Yes.
Had you ever worked with a disposable camera before?
No.
Did you find it difficult, or is
it wasn't difficult, but it was different.
Do you think that you bring to it a unique perspective because you are young?
It shows me, like, because, like, normally when I take a picture on, like, a phone, I just focus on, like, that one image I'm trying to take a picture of. But, like, with, like, the digital camera or, like, the camera that I was using, you could, like, it's like when you take a picture, you look at, like, the more stuff in the background instead of, like, just that one picture, like, that one item you're trying to take a picture of.
So you're thinking more of it as a total image, as a work of art to some
yes.
degree. How long have you lived in public housing?
All my life, so far.
Do you think that shapes the way you understand it?
In a point, it does, but I'm not always, like, right in my, like, neighborhood. I'm also, like, I travel outside of it, too.
You probably have a better sense of how New York City works than most New Yorkers because you know both public housing and non-public housing.
Yes.
Margaret, how long have you lived in public housing?
I had lived there 53 years when I just had gotten married and we needed somewhere to stay. I don't even know how we got an application to public housing, but my husband said, oh, Margaret, your sister told me about it, and so before you know it, we were ready to move in, but we moved in before they planted the trees. So mm-hmm. we were very new, and I was the only one ever in my apartment. And when we moved in, we were very excited because we had come from a tenement. And we were very excited because we were new parents and had a new baby, and we were just excited about where we were going to live.
So this felt like a real step up.
Oh, yes, it felt definitely for us. We were a new family, just a young family with not, we didn't have money. We were happy, but we had no money.
But as time has gone on and as public perception of public housing has changed, and in some cases, some cities are even destroying public housing.
Yeah, that's things that you see, and a lot of that does happen where you are, but there's still a normalcy about what's going on. People are going out to work. Kids are going to school. Fathers and mothers are doing things. Children are going off to college. And it's like life. There's always a sad side, but there's a side that is normal. That's normal. And you're raising kids, scolding them, sending them to school and taking care of them. People going out to work, kids going out to play.
And that's why your pictures include one as a large basketball court.
Yes. I remember when that court was just dirt and they tarred it over and kids would play out there, and we just saw it's a big location where kids could play, you know, where they play the basketball and handball, and kids need to run and jump somewhere. It might be on asphalt, but they're still running and jumping and having fun and having a childhood.
Another one of your pictures is of a large, beautiful tree on a Harlem street corner.
Joyce Kilmer. Joyce Kilmer. I remember
the poem
as lovely as a tree. And when you look at a tree, the Bible says the rocks will cry out, but the trees clap their hands when they praise God.
Nia, where is your housing project?
I'm over in the Bailey. So it's like close to, like, it's like in Riverdale, so.
Northern Bronx.
Yes.
One of your photos featured in the book shows a very highly decorated kitchen. Is that your family's kitchen?
Yes.
What made you want to take a picture of that?
Well, see, we eat at the dining room table every night as a family. We have conversations, talk about, like, how our day went, any problems, if we did anything happy, anything going on with our life. So it meant a lot to me because I never know when, like, I might not be able to see a dining room kitchen again. So I have it as a picture to remember it.
Chelsea, did you choose the people who would participate, or were they self-selecting?
It was mainly self-selecting. We worked with community center directors to help us recruit participants. But we ended up opening the classes to any and all who were interested in participating.
And you had previously done this style of participatory photography with pediatric cancer patients at St. Louis Children's Hospital. Were the approaches similar in both cases?
Definitely. The form of self-expression, I think, was very similar. And I had a beautiful moment working in that program with a deaf child who photographed people's hands because he signed with sign language. And I think that moment to me really emphasized the beauty of participatory photography and what you can achieve when documenting life that is unmediated by an outside observer.
Were you or your other editors, George Carano and Jonathan Fisher, surprised by some of the photos you got back from these participants?
Well, overall, throughout the 3 or 4 years that we were running this program, we collected thousands of photos. And all of the photos are really overwhelmingly optimistic, with just a ton of pride for people's lives and their homes. And to really not receive any negative imagery, I think, is really special.
And you were surprised by that?
Yeah, I think that was maybe a bit of a surprise.
Were you tempted at all, Margaret, to show some of the negative aspects of the projects?
Well, you know, for an older adult, I'm not out, you know, in the streets, and I hear of things, but I'm not out as part of it, and I, you know, what I see is not negative. It happens, but I don't see it. It's across there. It's over there. It's in that block, but it's not where I live.
I wonder about even the word projects. In England, they call it council housing, which I guess means projects in the minds of British people. But the projects almost makes it sound like, I don't know, a project rather.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? There's something negative about that word.
Well, I guess
it's applied to housing.
In 1935, they started off with that term. And I guess over the years, everything becomes new and you name it something different. Now, given a choice, would I give it another type of name? You just said the development. Boom, quote, what is the development? But project is a negative term. Maybe it's a negative term now because of what we have seen in the papers, and we attach that to project.
Do you feel the same way, Nia, that there's a negativity attached to the term, the projects?
Everybody sees the word project in different ways. I see it as a place where I live. I don't see it as a negative aspect because for me it's not. But more other places it might be, but not really in my neighborhood where I live.
But you're beginning a singing career.
Yes.
And should I assume that when you make it really big, you're going to move out of the projects?
Yes, I am.
Meanwhile, we have this fascinating book. In the end, it winds up a really good photography book. We don't have to make any excuses for these people. These images are pretty good. My thanks to Chelsea Davis, who is one of the editors of Project Lives, along with George Carano and Jonathan Fisher. It's published by Powerhouse. And to two of the contributors to the book, Nia Morning and Margaret Wells. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah, pleasure.